The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good morning. It is 7:07 on June 19th, 2018. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis all this week while Mark takes a vacation. Mark is, I'm sure, not listening and is totally unplugged from what we're doing here because he is so plugged in while he is here. Paul Gleiser from KTBB and Tyler sitting in. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser, G-L-E-I-S-E-R. My blog, which Mark is so kind to promote here on 660 AM, The Answer is utellmetexas.com, utellmetexas.com. I am certain, because I listened last week, I am certain that Mark thoroughly wrung out the subject of the Inspector General report, which came out last week to mixed reviews. The Inspector General report, which details the degree to which the Department of Justice and members and employees of agents of the FBI have completely corrupted what is supposed to be the least corruptible of all federal departments. The fact that we now know out in the open what is going on is deeply upsetting. Watered down though it is, there's no evidence of bias, right? It's said in the report that there's no evidence of any political bias. Please. The report, nevertheless, serves a very useful purpose. It brings out into the open what we have long suspected, what we've known actually, yet, but now we can actually see in black and white and prove, and it makes it all undeniable. And that is the people who call themselves public servants and at their retirement parties, when they're given their gold watch or whatever it is, the people who think of themselves as public servants are anything but. These are people who are a part of the permanent federal bureaucracy, and it goes on in very nearly every department and agency of the federal government. These people think that you and I are stupid, that a majority of the voters in a majority of the precincts, in the majority of counties, in the majority of states voted for Donald Trump is nothing less than complete proof as to just how stupid we are. They hold us in such contempt. And if this report does nothing else, it proves that. They think that government by the people is a quaint, anachronistic 18th century notion whose time has long passed. They really think that we people out here in backwaters like, oh my God, Texas, are Neanderthal, knuckle-dragging know-nothings. But don't limit it to Texas. They think the 83% of people in Winston County, Alabama, who voted for Donald Trump are knuckle-dragging, know-nothing Neanderthals. They think the same of the people in Mercer County, Ohio, who voted nearly 90% for Donald Trump are the same. The same for Fulton County, Pennsylvania, and counties all across the heartland of the United States. They think that we don't know enough to govern ourselves. They really do think that we are POSs, as we learned from that text message of that yet unidentified FBI agent. They think that only a tight cabal of Ivy League educated elites can run the country. They don't believe that people like you and people like me really have the intellectual horsepower to decide for ourselves how the country should run. They believe that government is theirs, that our attempts to claim it as ours have to be stopped. Thus, they're not trying to stop Donald Trump, as the Peter Strzok text said. They're trying to stop you. They cannot abide the fact that we, the folks, upended their superior judgment and elected someone as clearly unacceptable as Donald Trump. they had clearly decided that they wanted Hillary Clinton, and it was our job to go through the motions of bringing that about. But it was not our decision. It was simply our job to validate theirs. It was a decision made in the tight cloisters of establishment Washington, and that was that. And that such is being decided inside a federal department with the awesome, fearsome powers of the federal law enforcement apparatus should make your blood run cold. Because we are learning that we are learning that elections are a mere nuisance. Yes, they have a preference as to who gets elected. Yes, they work in government and thus favor government, because when government gets bigger, there's more opportunity for personal advancement. Yes, they're going to be overwhelmingly in favor of those who are in favor of big government. And yes, that means they're going to always want the Democrat. And yes, the federal bureaucracy votes something like 90% for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. But be that as it may, it doesn't really matter. Democrats come and go, Republicans come and go, but the permanent federal bureaucracy always remains. So, here is my great fear. My great fear is that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and all of their ilk are going to get away with it. My great fear is that we are going to permanently enshrine a system in which there is one set of laws for folks like you and me and a separate set of laws for those in the elite upper circles of government. My fear is that a nobody like that sailor Christian Saucier can go to jail, have his life ruined for having pictures from inside a Navy submarine of equipment considered confidential, the very lowest level of classification, while Hillary Clinton can mishandle material of the highest levels of classification and suffer no consequence at all. Donald Trump asked the question in a tweet over the weekend, how is it that Peter Strzok still has a job inside the FBI? And my question to Donald Trump is, you're the boss, why haven't you fired him? My fear is one set of rules for us and a completely different set of rules for those who consider themselves to be our rulers. And if that system becomes entrenched as a lack of decisive action, because of a lack of decisive action against bad actors like Strzok and Page, and remember, these are just the two that we know about. There are thousands and thousands of others throughout the federal government. There is no way we can keep the republic. If we cannot trust the Justice Department to actually deliver justice, if justice in America is a two-tier system based on your status and connections within the power circles of Washington, we no longer have a country. So the question this morning, what needs to happen now? Now that we know what we know from the Inspector General report on the misdeeds of the FBI and the Justice Department, what do we need to do now? What do you want to see happen? 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. What needs to happen next? What do you want to see done to Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and whoever else is dirty and has committed serious crimes that completely show a lack of respect for us, we the people? What do you want to see done? What should Donald Trump do next? 866-660-5759. And a bonus question this morning. We always try to have a bonus question when I'm here. Kathy Griffin, that perfect lady, Kathy Griffin, over the weekend unleashed a profanity-laced tirade against Melania Trump. Over what her husband is, or her Kathy Griffin's dislike of the policies on the border, and when Donald Trump and the separation of children, which, by the way, from their families, which is not exactly true. We'll get to that in a minute. But she made her point in a profanity-laced tirade that comes on the heels of the multiple F-bombs dropped by Robert De Niro last week at the Tony Awards. It seems that hard-left liberals cannot make a point against Donald Trump absent massive amounts of profanity. So the bonus question is there a place in society for profanity? Do you use it? Should we expunge it? Has it gotten so bad that it's gotten such that the public square cannot really engage in a conversation without dropping F-bombs and S-bombs and all the dirty words that we now hear mostly from people on the left, but none of us is pure? Is it time to expunge profanity from our vocabularies? 866-660-5759. You know, it is a it's astonishing to me that we supposedly own the country, and yet these people treat us as if they're doing, as if it's their country and we do their bidding. And it happens at every level of government, actually. If you walk into the driver's license, the DPS, they will more often than not treat you as a supplicant rather than as a customer. Yeah, government has gotten so big that they don't feel that they're accountable to us anymore, and particularly at the federal government, and I would like to see some heads roll. And my fear is if they don't roll, if Hillary Clinton skates by, if Peter Strzok skates by, if Lisa Page and all the rest of them skate by, I'm afraid we lose the country. So what do you want to see happen next? 866-660-5759. Do you fear that nothing is going to come out of the Inspector General report except for some congressional testimony and some posturing and some otherwise unsubstantive action that doesn't change anything and that serves, because we now know how corrupt the Justice Department is, that serves to make it permanent? And that is my fear. I am really, really concerned that if we don't take decisive action, this is going to be our government going forward, and we can't live with it, I don't think. But what do you think? 866-660-5759. And do you use dirty words in your conversation with people you know? Do you have any problem using dirty words in conversations with people you don't know? Do you drop F-bombs? Is profanity a part of your vocabulary? Do you wish it wasn't? Or are you okay with it? Or should we all work on just getting profanity out of our vocabularies, given how bad it has gotten in the public square, where it's okay to go on television and talk the way Kathy Griffin talks and the way Robert De Niro talked the other night on the Tony Awards? You know, CBS deleted the audio, but we knew exactly what was going on, and we immediately go on Twitter and find out what he said. And it was, you know, if you want to, first of all, Bob, the Tony Awards is not the place for that. It's supposed to be celebrating achievement in theater, and that's what you're supposed to be there to talk about. It's not a place for you. It's not a forum for your political beliefs. But if you're going to turn it into that anyway, can you please do it in a civil way? And can you please do it in a way that actually shines light instead of a bunch of useless heat? Do we have to talk this badly? Can you not make your point in such a way that it resonates, or that at least engages the person on the other side of the debate in conversation, as opposed to just a long list of dirty words? Could we please get that out of our vocabularies? 866-660-5759. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis this week. It's my pleasure to be asked by Mark to sit in here. It's a lot of fun, and it's a great audience, and it's just a great place to be for a week. Can't wait to be a part of your mornings here in the next 5 days. So those are the questions on the floor this morning. What are we going to do? What should Donald Trump do? What needs to happen next to reclaim our government? My fear is that if something doesn't happen, we will have forfeited the government, and we will not have government by the people. We will have government by a permanent set of overlords, people who lord over us their power. We have to do something. Something has to happen next. What do you think that should be? 866-660-5759. And the bonus question, do you use dirty words? Do you wish you didn't? And is it time to just get that language out of our vocabularies and clean up our act so that is it time to once again say in civil discourse, we just don't talk that way anymore? 866-660-5759. We'll go to your calls after the break here on 660 AM, The Answer. Coming up 7:26 here on 660 AM, The Answer. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Mark on vacation this week. He will return a week from today on Monday. I'm going to be here all week, and I can't wait to get started. We're going to go right to the phones. Don and Rowlett, you're our leadoff caller here on 660 AM, The Answer, on the Mark Davis Show. Go, Don.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, the question that I've got, since I'm a shade tree lawyer here, is if they got rid of the two bad actors that we know about, how does that affect being able to prosecute them at a later date? And then the second thing would be, if all of these bad actors are found out about, and Sessions doesn't do anything. He just sits on his laurels, which apparently he's quite accustomed to doing. Then what does Trump do? Does Trump get rid of Sessions and Rosenstein and start over with somebody new, or what?
Well, let me take your questions in the order that you asked them. With respect to Strzok Page or anybody else who breaks the law inside the federal government, there is a statute of limitations. I don't know. I think it's either 48 or 60 months. So any time within 4 years or 5 years of the actual commission of that crime, that individual can be prosecuted. And some lawyer out there will tell me what the statute of limitations is on federal crimes. But within that period, that person can be prosecuted, irrespective of his or her employment status. So is Peter Strzok, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page have behaved with massive impropriety. Have they broken any laws? I don't know about that. But nevertheless, they don't deserve to still be employed, and Peter Strzok is still employed at the FBI, and they should be fired. Now, the second part of your question, what about Jeff Sessions? I don't know Jeff Sessions. I know people who know Jeff Sessions, and those people say that Jeff Sessions is, without question, one of the most thoroughly decent people to walk the planet. He is a fine, good, and decent man, but he's not a bare-knuckles fighter, and I don't think he has the backbone for cleaning up the Department of Justice and dealing with these kinds of things. And I think for all the things that I think President Trump has gotten right, I think he got Jeff Sessions wrong, and I think it's a mistake he needs to fix. And I think he needs to ask Jeff Sessions to step aside and find somebody else. And he needs somebody with a whole lot of toughness, and somebody who's willing to go in and knock some heads together and clean that mess up. When we talk about draining the swamp, the murkiest, smelliest, deepest part of the swamp is the Department of Justice, and it's got to get fixed. And I don't think Jeff Sessions is the guy to fix it. There's nothing he's shown me has shown me a guy that's really going to wade in there and fix things. So, do those two things answer your questions?
Well, it answers my questions. I mean, I'm a Texas boy. I understand Sessions, you know. And I think he's a good guy. But as you're saying, you know, it's time that Trump goes to the Trump mode, and that's the bare knuckles, you know, take no prisoners and start beating some people up and chopping some heads.
I think
that's
there need
both for the FBI and the Justice Department.
I think there need to be sharp consequences for what we have seen that has happened here. And if we don't get those sharp consequences, and if we don't, and if people don't pay a stiff price, it's just going to encourage it going on in the future. And if that happens, then I think we lose our republic. So I think it's a very, very big deal. Don, thanks for your call. That opens up a line. It's at 866-660-5759. More of your calls coming up after the break. Right now, Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. 7:36 here on 660 AM, The Answer in DFW, Freedom 1160 AM in San Antonio. We're talking about what does Donald Trump need to do next to clean up and drain the swamp as it is manifest in the Department of Justice. And back to the phones we go with Mark in Fort Worth. You have an answer to the question raised by the previous caller. You're on the air. Go.
Yeah, this is Mark. I was curious. There's a statute of limitations of 4 to 5 years for these FBI agents, Lois Lerner, Peter Strzok, you know, all this type of stuff. But they're going after Manafort, and it was 13 years ago what he did. And it's like the hypocrisy in this is ridiculous. I mean, they need to obviously change the rules so that they can immediately fire these people, but to the point where they're going to sit there and not be able to even prosecute them in 4 or 5 years. Like, Lois Lerner's gone now. We can't prosecute her.
Yeah, and that's when, and you raise a great point with Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner skated; she got away with it. We know she is guilty of violation of federal statute. We know she abused her authority. We know that she behaved illegally, and she walked away. When she was called before Congress, she pleaded the fifth.
So
and we're supposed to not draw any. We're supposed to not draw any conclusions from somebody pleading the fifth, but she pleaded the fifth for a reason. And she, and she has skated. Now, with respect to Manafort, his crimes were ongoing. 13 years, they began 13 years ago, but the only way he could be prosecuted is their ongoing crimes, and that's the allegation inside the indictment. But the fact is, some people get prosecuted and some people don't. And that's the rub. Everybody that commits a crime should be prosecuted. Thus, we have a deterrent to crime. But if some classes of people, and it's the elite...
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton, it's the elite left. They're always on the left, it seems. If it's the elite ruling class that has one set of rules and we out here paying the taxes have another set of rules, I don't think you keep the republic as a result of that. Mark, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. That opens up a line, 866-660-5759. Greg and Garland, you're next on the Mark Davis Show.
Hello,
Greg.
This is Greg.
Okay, go, Greg. You're on the air.
So, yes, I agree with you 100% about the severity of the situation. You know, as we approached this, I was worried as this information started coming out. I don't know if people realize how close we came to losing the republic as a result of the election. And by that, I mean it seems that the intelligence agencies, the Justice Department, the FBI had been weaponized and became political, and that was a very dangerous situation. So if we get fast forward to the Attorney General's report, correct me if I'm wrong.
The Inspector General, Inspector General's report, not the Attorney.
I'm sorry, the Inspector General's.
Right.
That specifically dealt with the Hillary Clinton email server.
And the FBI's conduct, the FBI dealt with the FBI's conduct as it applied to investigation of Hillary Clinton's email server.
That's correct. So some serious repercussions need to happen to the people that did wrongdoing, including firing, including prosecution. But I think we've got a broader problem. What I would like to see is another special counsel appointed, because it seems like there's a broader conspiracy here that involves perhaps Brennan, Clapper, maybe General Lynch, maybe even President Obama. And I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't know if this reaches the level of sedition or treason. But it seems like there was an attempt to overthrow an election or some type of coup, not in the sense of changing like to a different political system or whatever, but it just seems like the foundations of our Constitution and our democracy were attacked here. So if you just answered my question, apparently the treason has not been right, but I'm up to the death penalty if it's warranted. So yes, well, very serious. Stuff needs to happen for the very reason you said, that as a deterrent. Otherwise, we will lose it.
Yeah, and I don't think, of course, you know, we can fantasize about the death penalty. That'll never happen because these aren't capital crimes. But I tell you what, I do think crimes have been committed. And my concern is, I don't think there's any question crimes have been committed, and yet there doesn't seem to be any motion in the direction of prosecuting anybody for them. And then some poor guy running a small business somewhere commits some minor federal crime, and he gets his door kicked in at 4 o'clock in the morning, and faces financial ruin and imprisonment. And yet, very, very, very high crimes have been committed. I mean, very serious crimes have been committed by very, very high-ranking people who clearly know better and did what they did because they're very clearly convinced they could get away with it. And that's my problem. If we let them get away with it, we will further convince the next generation of bad actors that they can get away with it. That if your politics are of the right stripe, you can do whatever you want. And I don't think we keep the country if we let that happen.
I agree with you. To share one other quick thing, one of the reasons I'm so passionate about the Hillary Clinton thing is that I used to work in aerospace as an engineer, had a high-level, top-secret security clearance, and I know what would have happened to me.
Well, what was your briefing when they gave you that clearance? What did they tell you?
Well, this was before the days of the Internet, but it was very clear that, it was a very serious thing. If we mishandled the information, I mean, they would look at it. If it was something very benign, there'd be for that level of severity, I would have at least lost my clearance, lost my job, been out of the industry, and probably been in jail. I mean, look at the submarine guy that took a few photos.
Christian Saucier took a few photos that he shared with nobody, and yet lost his naval career, was imprisoned for a year in the naval prison. was unable to get work any above driving a garbage truck. You know, President Trump recently pardoned Saucier here in the past few weeks, but I don't think he'll ever get his life back. You know what? He shouldn't have, shot the pictures, and I know that he knew better when he did it, so he's not innocent. But he, but his crime was relatively minor for the consequence he suffered, and Hillary Clinton's crime is huge for the consequence that she apparently is not going to suffer, and Lois Lerner's crime is huge for the consequences she is not going to suffer, and that is my problem. So, what do you want to see President Trump do? How do we fix it? The federal bureaucracy is out of control. They own the country. We don't, and that's a problem.
Yeah, well, I agree with you that on what you said on Jeff Sessions too. How do we fix it? Sessions is a good guy and a man of integrity and all that stuff, but he seems like I think he's a lifelong bureaucrat, and there's just too much going on. I think he's overwhelmed. It's so deep and so wide. You know, back to the Saul Alinsky stuff about basically creating chaos, and I think he's overwhelmed. You know, the government bureaucrats tend to work through things slowly. I just think he can't handle it.
I just don't think he's mean enough. I just think he's too nice a guy. And I think, you know, for all of what, as I said earlier, for all of what Donald Trump has done right, and he's done a lot right, to the great dismay of a whole lot of people in government, the appointment of Jeff Sessions to the incredibly important post of Attorney General was a mistake. And in my opinion, it's a mistake that President Trump needs to correct. He needs to correct it soon, and he needs to correct it come what may with respect to political consequences. Greg, thanks for your call. That opens up a line, 866-660-5759. Armandina in Arlington, you're next on The Mark Davis Show.
Hello. The point I just want to make is if a military command can be relieved of their duties for creating a culture of harassment, yes, breaking crimes, misuse of government property, fraud, waste, and abuse. So can the FBI. You know, that's the point I want to make.
Well, the point you're making is it's true that inside the military, somebody can be relieved almost instantaneously. But there's different rules inside the Federal Civil Service. You know, there's 2.8 million federal employees. Think about that. 2.8 million civilian employees on the federal payroll, and most of them, it is next to impossible to fire them. And that's how you get the VA scandal that we got during the Obama administration. That's how you get this kind of behavior when you have people working for the federal government who know it is next to impossible to fire them. They will act accordingly. The civil service rules need to be rewritten, and it needs to be easier for an agency head or a cabinet-level department secretary to fire bad actors inside the federal government, because we have a system now where you can't get rid of these people no matter how outrageously they behave. And that's how we have lost control of our federal government. That's how it is that they are able to lord over us in the way that they do. And that's why Peter Strzok and Lisa Page can sit there and arrogantly say, we're going to stop him. We are going to, and see, the thing, here's the thing. They're not stopping Trump. They're stopping the people in Winston County, Alabama, who want to elect Trump. They're stopping the people in Smith County, Texas, who want to elect Donald Trump. They're not stopping Trump. They're stopping the people who cast their votes. They're actually showing contempt not for Donald Trump, but for the people who wanted to elect Donald Trump. They have contempt for the people that they are supposed to be serving. And that is my problem with the way we have, with the place we've gotten ourselves to with respect to the permanent federal bureaucracy. So, Armandino, what do you want to see happen next? What should President Trump do?
Well, he really just needs to continue on with the message of making sure people come out and vote November for more Republicans. And we can deal with the rhinos, you know, at a later date, but we just need to get out there and vote Republican straight up. Because on top of all of this, you know, a lot of us online, on Facebook, Twitter, so on and so forth, we're also being censored, you know, or our messages are being hidden. If we have anything conservative to say or we have any attack to make against opponents, you know, it's they allow opponents to be uncensored, but when we go out there and say the same kind of words, we are censored for that. So just as long as he keeps pushing for people to come out and vote November 18th on Twitter, so on and so forth, that I think that's the best thing he can do. Well, yes, deal with Jeff Sessions. He needs to be replaced.
All right, Armandino, on the subject of censorship, let me go with the bonus question. Do you use four-letter words yourself?
I have to respell it because it gets banned. You know, if you just straight up do the full word, I do. On the Twitter, yes. I deleted Facebook, but on Twitter, yes, I do. I respell it, though.
Okay, so you use four-letter words. Do you think we should try to get profanity, just given how bad it's gotten in the public square, do you think we should just, as a people, try to cut back on our use of profanity?
Well, yes, we should, and first off, I need to work on that for myself. But
well, you know, don't we all? But when Robert De Niro standing up on national television is dropping F-bombs like that, it's just awful. It didn't used to happen. We didn't.
Right.
There was a time in America where that didn't happen. That what Robert De Niro did on national television on the Tony Awards last week, what Kathy Griffin has done on multiple occasions, there was a time in America where that just didn't happen. Yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up, my dad and my grandfather, they used some colorful and gritty language, but it wasn't like this, and they didn't use it in mixed company, and they respected their audience, and we reached the point where we've kind of gone so far with it, it has become, I don't know, I think it's become corrosive to our public discourse and corrosive to us as a society. Armandina, thanks so much for your call. We have time for Carl in Fort Worth. Carl, you're next on the Mark Davis Show. Go.
Yes, very good show. When I'm listening, I keep thinking of Benghazi. When Ambassador Stevens was putting out like SOS, we're under attack for 24 hours. Wasn't there an admiral of a carrier fleet nearby?
I don't know. I can't think of his name,
but I believe he got relieved of duty.
Okay,
he was trying to get in there to help.
I don't know. I know that. Well, we know the story of Benghazi. We don't want to relitigate it. And you know, the
well, you know, it's you know, Ambassador Stevens was appointed by Obama, and he requested
on multiple occasions, multiple times, he said we need more security. He practically begged for it, and the call wasn't answered, and then Hillary Clinton went out and lied about it and blamed it on a ridiculous YouTube video, and all of that's improper. And if she had been my employee, had been my Secretary of State when that happened, and she tried that, I would have fired her. But you know, that was all politically driven, and it was a fiasco. And it's one more reason that I'm glad that Hillary Clinton is not the president of the United States, because she stood up and lied to those families and right to their faces as they grieved, as they were watching their coffins being unloaded there at Andrews Air Force Base. It was really, really hard to watch. And it's an indication of just how the elites have failed us here in government. We're going to take a break here. More of your calls coming up here on 660 AM The Answer and Freedom 1160 in San Antonio. The time is 7:51. 7:56 and a half here on June 19th, 2018. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. We're on the air at 660 AM The Answer in Dallas-Fort Worth and Freedom 1160 in San Antonio. And welcome to a new week. Mark Davis is out on vacation this week. I'm with you all week through Friday, and Mark will return a week from today. The topic on the table is what do we do now that we know just how corrupt the FBI and the Justice Department are? The IG's report makes that very clear, even though it preposterously says there is no real evidence of bias. I mean, come on. They were totally biased against Donald Trump. That's what we're talking about. We have a guest coming up in the next hour. We are going to say goodbye, though, to our friends in San Antonio on Freedom 1160, Dallas-Fort Worth. Stay here on The Answer. We'll see you after the break.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.